Daniel chapter 9. Am I in the right place? Daniel chapter 9. Let's start in verse 20. And while thou was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. And I say, Daniel got off to a bad start because he already talking about sin. And that puts everybody in a bad mood, puts a damper on the meeting right then and there, you know. Let's talk about our shortcomings, but let's not talk about our sin. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Let's pray. Father, help us now to preach tonight. May we be an encouragement and a help to God's people. May we take something away from the message tonight that would help us and enrich our lives, help us to be better Christians. Help us be better husbands and wives, communicators. Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. That little passage we read there, Daniel's been praying for a long time and hadn't heard anything. There'd been no communication. And then out of a clear blue sky, Gabriel shows up, being caused to fly swiftly. And he didn't have any wings to get in his way. You can go a lot faster without wings than you can with wings. But anyway, Gabriel shows up, and he tells me, he said, Daniel, I've come to talk to you and to give you some information. He said, I've come to communicate some things to you. And I want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes, and we really will try and be brief. I want to talk to you about communicators or communication. And it really is a lot more important than you might think when we first mention it. Because what passes off these days for communication quite often has a lot lacking. There's not much real communicating going on. Back over in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 17, the Lord said, he's talking to himself, and he's talking about Abraham, and he said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I'm about to do, seeing he should be the father of a great nation and all this, that, and the other? So then in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20, it said, and the Lord said, and then the rest of the narrative is God telling and explaining to Abraham what he's got planned. And so there was communication between God and Abraham. I looked up in my Noah Webster 1828 semi-inspired English dictionary, and here's what it says. And you need to pay attention, if you would, to this definition, because it's critical to understanding what communication is. Communication is not just talking. Communication has to do with understanding. Here's what Noah Webster said back in 1828. To impart reciprocally. That is, I talk to you, you talk to me, we talk to each other. It's reciprocal. It goes from me to you and then from you back to me. And we present our points of view, our information, whatever it is we have, until we reach a common understanding. Then we've communicated. And until that happens, we may have talked, but we haven't communicated. To impart reciprocally or mutually. That is, we both understand what we're talking about. Then communication. You can talk to me all day long, but if I don't understand it, if you say it in a way or with words or whatever that I don't grasp or can't grapple with, you may have been eloquent, you may have done a tremendous job, but you haven't communicated what you're talking about. Because when I walk away, if I don't know what it was you intended, and I can't accomplish or do what you wanted done, even though you talked and talked eloquently and talked long, you failed to communicate. The art of communication is to make the other person understand where you're coming from, what you expect or what you require or what you think. So it's to impart reciprocally or mutually, to have or enjoy a share of. That means both parties have to be involved in it for it to be communication. One way doesn't constitute communication. To impart as knowledge, to reveal, to give as information, either by words, signs, or symbols. Which means there's all kind of ways to communicate. Which brings up, man, you're talking about a broad field to look at when you talk about communication. If you can communicate not only by the words of the mouth, but by signs or symbols, you open up a whole vista of means and methods whereby to communicate feelings or emotions or beliefs or information, warnings, applause, congratulations. You can commute all kinds of things with the mouth or with the way you act or behave. President Reagan was known, the Gipper, was known as the great communicator because he had an ability when he talked to you to make you understand his position. The world loved Ronald Reagan because when he got through talking, you didn't feel like you'd been talked at. You didn't feel like you'd been talked down to. You felt like you had talked with. And people loved Ronald Reagan because they felt a comradeship or a kinship with him. Because they thought, I understand this man and this man understands me. We're on the same page. That's a rare gift. Our current president lacks that ability. Do you ever notice that they always say he's a great orator, but they never say he's a great communicator? Words mean things. Words have definitions. You know why they call him an orator? Because he can read a prompter. But he can't involve you. I listened to his speech out in, Arizona? Arizona. When he went out there for the memorial service. And it wasn't a bad speech. I didn't think there was anything special about it. But it wasn't bad. But he never got me emotionally involved. I could sit back as dispassionately as if I was watching a football game and watch him do what he did. When Ronald Reagan gave a speech, when the thing was over, your blood pressure was up. You were perspiring. You were ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Because he had the ability to communicate not just the academics of it, but the emotion behind it. He was a communicator. And so I want to talk to you for a few minutes about communication. Now the truth is, the greatest communicator in the world is God. God's taken one little book, and with this book, God can give you specific directions. He can give you broad principles. He can cover the most minute detail or speak in the greatest generalities. In this book, God has communicated to mankind His mind. When you read that Bible, you communicate with God and God reveals to you His mind about right and wrong, good and bad, life and death, marriage and family and children, money, work, eating, social responsibility, language, dress, activities, heaven, hell, salvation, service, worship, and anything else that the human mind can possibly imagine, God has communicated to us in this blessed old book. And He does it with passion and with fire. He does it with brevity. He does it with wit. Sometimes he's as solemn. Sometimes it's jovial. The book has a way of communicating what God wants you to know in the most unusual ways. And yet sometimes it can be so simple and so straightforward that the simplest child can grasp some of the most fundamental principles known to mankind. And God communicated all of that in one little book. There are millions of books in the Library of Congress, and they still can't communicate how we feel or why we are what we are. God summed it all up in less than 1 million words. That's pretty remarkable. Now, tonight I want to talk to you about communicating with the people you love. Husbands and wives, children. I really believe with all my heart that families would be closer. Husbands and wives would be more knit together. Children would be less rebellious, more receptive, and more responsible if we actually communicated with them. If we could communicate to them what we believe, what we expect, or what we require, but if we could also communicate why we believe that. It's not always enough. Now, it works when children are little. And sometimes it's necessary to just say, here's what I want done, or this is the way it has to be. There's a place for that. I understand that. But sometimes our communication needs to be broader than that, more in depth than that. We all would like to think that we're great communicators. I don't know how many of us really are. I'm an observer of people. That's what I do. If I was going to find myself a profession, I think that's what I'd be. I would be a professional observer. I like to watch people. I like to watch them at church. I like to watch them at work. I like to watch them in the mall. I like to watch them when things are going really good or when they get an unexpected blessing. I like to watch them when tragedy strikes. Because the way people react to all those circumstances gives you a great insight into their personality and their character. It's like the wife and I been going on visitation. And we walk into people's yard and I point out things to her. What I see in their yard. The appearance of the house. How well kept or how unkept it is. The kind of car, the recreational vehicles, the toys or the lack there. When you can walk up to a guy's house and I can have 30 things to talk to you about and never have met you. Just because I see where you've spent your money, what you put your time into, what seems to be important. A lot of times you walk up and you can tell if a man lives in a house or not. I went to a house here a year or so ago for my former employer before I retired. And I came back and he was asking me a question. And I told him, I said, you know, there's no woman in that house. He said, how do you know that? I said, well, I was in the house. A man keeps that house. The house is sterile. It has all the right stuff, but there's no feminine touch. And you know what I found out a few months later? There's two guys living in that house. I knew that. I never met either one of them, but I knew it. Because the house communicated to me. Now, so let's talk about communication for a few minutes. Have you ever met somebody that just talks incessantly? My grandchildren's grandmother lives down in Charleston, South Carolina. And as far as I know, she's a good woman. I don't know a lot about her. But I do know this. She never shuts up. I know that. She talks all the time. And she doesn't listen. Because no matter what you tell her, if it ever pops in her little brain again, she's got to call you and ask you about it. Because she didn't hear it. She never stops and listens. She just chatters. And she thinks, because she talks a lot, that she's communicating. She's not. She's one of the worst communicators I ever listened to. She just talks. She's not revealing her heart or her mind or her intellect. She's just talking about little nonsensical things that pop into that little tiny brain of hers, and she just parrots them right back out. And no, and she never waits for a response. She never waits for an answer. She just moves on to the next thing. She could literally talk all day long, and all you have to do every now and then is say, okay, or huh, or grunt, and she's reloaded and rearmed and ready to go again. And I guarantee you, if you said, if you did something, she said, well, didn't I tell you that? Don't you know how I feel about that? No. Because your words are just chatter. They don't mean anything. She is not a communicator. Amen? Now, you know what a real good preacher is? He's not just funny. He's not just hellfire and brimstone. A good preacher, like a good teacher, is a communicator. When he gets through, you have to know, you have to understand, you have to have some glimpse of, you have to have imbibed some of the passion of what he was talking about if he was effective. I know a lot of preachers that are not good communicators. The jury's still out on me. Now, let me talk to you about communication and just give you some simple things about it. And the reason I'm doing that is because it will help you with your friends. It will help you with your spouse. It will help you with your children. And believe it or not, boys and girls, it will help you with your parents if you ever talk to them. First thing is this, everybody is a communicator, but a lot of the time we communicate the wrong thing. You see, in this art of communication, in this transfer of information and understanding from person to person, there is more than just the verbalization of words. Let me show you how that works. Back over in Genesis, there's a little story about a man who makes a mistake. He's going down the road, and it said, and there was a woman in the attire of an harlot. She's communicating. She's communicating. What she had on told everybody that passed by what she was. Some years ago, we were over in Germany to visit Samantha and Galen. And we're going down the road there, and I see there's like three little cars over there, and they have the doors open and the lights are on. And they have women sitting on the hood, on the front of the car. And so I asked Galen, I said, what's all that about? Because they weren't talking to each other. They were just each one sitting on. He said, those are prostitutes. It's legal over there. And if the light is on, she's open for business. And if the light is out, she has a customer. So what are they doing? They are communicating. They're telling everybody that passes by that this is a business district and that they're in business. And everybody knows that. So they have communicated exactly what they wanted to everybody that goes by. Now, they haven't said a word, see? This is non-verbal communication. Their looks or where they're at communicates their activity or their intent. Amen? By the way, things haven't changed. What you wear still tells people a lot about you. Where you go still tells people a lot about you. You communicate things. Amen? Amen. Now, so, a lot of times, when we communicate, we talk with our mouth. But you ever notice the emphasis that we put on things? Sometimes we get really passionate, or maybe we get red in the face and angry. Or if we're under certain circumstances, instead of being passionate, we are just really dispassionate. We just do it with no passion, no interest, no enthusiasm at all. All those things help communicate. And sometimes they actually say more, or at least as much as, the words that come out of your mouth. You ever talk to your spouse or your children, and you say a thing, and the words you're saying kind of say one thing, but they get hurt or offended, or get their feelings hurt, because of the tone of your voice or the sharpness that you used when you said it? So your mouth said one thing, but you communicated something else with your action. If you're a real good communicator, you get those actions and those words to say the same thing. We often are bad communicators and communicate bad things. Sometimes we do it with malice aforethought. We want people to think one thing about us or believe one thing about us, and so we work at and deliberately try to present a certain air or a certain look, or we use certain words, or we adopt certain positions, trying to communicate to somebody else that we believe this or we have this stand, or when it's not really us. We are, in fact, communicating false information. It's called deception. You say, well, I just didn't want them to think I was a... So you made them think something else? You communicated, but what did you communicate? Husbands and wives do it. Husbands or moms and dads and children do it. Friends do it to each other. I don't know how many times... You hear somebody say, oh, they're my friend, I know them, they wouldn't do this, that, or the other thing. And that's because they've convinced them through different means of communication that they have certain values or certain principles, and then you come to find out, wasn't so. They just wanted you to think well of them, and so they just did whatever they had to do, and they communicated whatever they thought was necessary to get a favorable impression on your part. So we communicate by our words, by our action. You can communicate by your silence. Do you ever think about how complicated the subject of communication really is? When you're communicating with somebody, I mean, and really trying to communicate so that both of you have understanding and come to a common ground, everything you do is part of the communication process. If you get hot and sweaty, if you get fervent, if you make gestures, if you get loud, if you get arrogant or condescending, if you get silly, all those things go together to make up communication. It's not just the words that came out of your mouth. You either reinforce those words or make null and void those words with all the other expressions that you attach to those words. Now, you need to be careful when you're talking to people to convey the truth. To convey sincerity. And in that communication, you can use gestures or looks or tone to reinforce what you're saying with your mouth. But it ought to be honest communication. It shouldn't be, I need to make a good impression so I can have an advantage. It shouldn't be, I need to communicate this or that or the other thing so they won't be down my throat or in my face. Amen? It's amazing the reasons we communicate what we do. Sometimes we're just playing CYA. Amen? Sometimes we are out to deliberately deceive. We want them to think one thing so that we can do something else. Communication is a very complex, a very complicated part of the socialization of people. It'd take forever to do the whole thing, so let me move on. The second thing about communication is this. Most of the time, or at least a lot of time, we communicate with the wrong people. The people that we have issues with, or the people that we need to have discourse with, we don't want to hurt them, or we don't want them to hurt us, or we don't want to be embarrassed or whatever. So you know what we do? We take our problems and those things, and we don't communicate to the person that's affected. We talk to somebody else. Women have problems with their husband. He does things they don't like, or he doesn't do things they wish he would, or whatever. Maybe he's short or abrupt, or maybe he's too attentive, you know, and that can be as bad as not being attentive at all. You know, I've heard wives say, I wish he'd just get out of the house and leave me alone for a little while. I mean, the guy just, he's under her feet all the time, and that gets to be annoying. But instead of talking to him and saying, you know, and explaining how you feel, they go find some other woman and talk to him. You know, my husband does this and he does that, or I can't get him to do this, or I can't get him to do that, and boy, it's just getting under my nerve, and I don't know how much longer I can take it, and blah, blah. Hey, sweetie, that ain't going to do your marriage one bit of good. That's not going to help the relationship between you and your children one iota, because you didn't tell them. You're communicating all your frustration, all your irritation, all your expectation, you're communicating it to the wrong person. So why didn't you talk to your husband? I read a thing here a couple of years ago. Men going to women of ill repute, and it wasn't for the physical thing so much as it was they needed somebody to talk to. There's been a big psychological study about that, because the men felt like, because they have nothing invested, they could bear their soul to this woman. But they couldn't tell that stuff to their wife. I thought, isn't that a pathetic situation to be in? She can bear your children, but you can't bear your soul? So married couples don't communicate. Men bottle it all up inside. We're not going to tell another man what's bothering us. Now, European men do a lot more than us, but they're a bunch of sissies. American men have got this macho thing, this alpha male thing. Every American man thinks he's an alpha male, whether he is or not. We all have a John Wayne complex. Amen? Just rough and tough and just push our way right on through it. And so we don't tell anybody what's on our heart. We don't tell anybody how we feel. We just tough it out, which is a stupid thing to do. Women talk a lot more than men do. Problem is, they don't talk to their husband. They talk to the other ladies. They talk to other women. Children tend not to talk to parents. Now, there's notable exceptions to that, I understand. And, of course, there's notable exceptions to husbands and wives, too. We're talking about general rules, not every single situation. As a general rule, a lot of couples don't talk. Men tend to bottle everything up. Women tend to verbalize to their friends or to their mama. And, of course, all kind of marital problems have come out of that, you know. The girl goes and tells her mama all the bad things about her husband, and now mama hates him. You'd have been a whole lot better if you kept your mouth shut, lady. Amen. You communicated too much, and you certainly communicated with the wrong person. Never tell your family anything bad about your spouse or your children. It's none of their business. My mama used to say, keep your dirty laundry in your own basket. I'm a big believer in that. Anyway, we communicate with wrong. Teenagers communicate with other teenagers. Is that dumb or what? Take one kid that don't know nothing, talking to another kid that don't know nothing, and when he gets through, neither one of them knows nothing. They think they, because they have some vocabulary, they also have brains. And they don't. Why in the world would you go and complain about mom and daddy being such ogs and all this, that, and the other, and being out of step and being prehistoric and Neanderthal and all that, and not tell them? Why in the world do we have such a hard time communicating with the people that are in our lives that mean more to us than anybody else, and we communicate less with them than with anybody else? Makes no sense, does it? Well, you know, I first thought about it, and I thought, you know, it doesn't make any sense. Then the more I thought about it, the more sense it made. Here's why. Why don't we communicate with our wife or our husband or with our children or our best friend? How is it we can talk to everybody else and be passionate about everything and bare our soul to other people about our theological beliefs, about our psychological beliefs, about our ideas about society, about family? We can communicate all that to all kind of people, but we never ever open up and communicate with the one involved. I thought, that doesn't make any sense. That's the stupidest thing in the world. Well, we're all reasonable people. We're educated people. Surely we're smart enough. We know that we ought to talk to the person we got the problem with. So why don't we? Well, there's a lot of good reasons for it. For example, you ever try to talk to your husband or wife, or maybe children try to talk to mom and dad, and you get rebuffed? They make light of you, or they poke fun of it. Or they tell you how silly you're being or how petty you're being. They offend you. They wound you. And you get hurt two or three times, and guess what you don't do anymore? You don't talk to them anymore. Why don't you talk to mom and dad? Oh, they don't listen to me. Oh, they don't like nothing I say. Everything I do makes them mad. Wives can't talk to her husband because he just, oh, you're just stupid. Well, you know what you do? You're cutting off communication. I have shared the same house and the same bed and the same bank account with the same lady for almost 49 years. And you have to learn to talk to each other. And you have to learn to be honest and open. And I'll tell you what you've got to do. If you want to communicate and you want the other person to communicate with you, if you want it to be reciprocal, you can't poke fun at folks. You can't make light of it. If the wife comes and says, you hurt my feelings, well, you shouldn't wear your feelings on your shoulder. You ever notice how women are always getting their feelings hurt? Seems like every time we open our mouth, we're hurting their feelings. Somebody say amen. And then when she comes and says, well, you know, you hurt my feelings last night. what? I didn't do nothing. Yeah, you said so and so. You got hurt over that? Good night, woman. Won't be long, she won't tell you squat. You can't put people down all the time. You can't make them feel stupid or inferior. You have to learn to listen. And no matter what you're thinking in the depths of your soul, you better keep that smirk off your face. You better keep the anger out of your voice. You better listen. You know, if you listen sometimes, you actually learn something. Now, I've hurt my wife's feelings a million times, and every single time it's been unintentional. I love her. I don't want to embarrass her or hurt her feelings or make her feel bad. But men just, we have a way of saying dumb stuff sometimes or at the wrong time. And especially certain times, women are just more sensitive than others. And we have to learn that and communicate with them differently at them times. Somebody say, amen, preacher, glory to God, that's the truth. They're all scared to death. Their wives are sitting beside them. If your wife comes to you and said, and jumps down your throat about a thing, you get offended, don't you? Now, my wife has learned she can lead, but she cannot push. My wife's very clever. She knows how to work around my personality. Yes, you do. Tonight you do. Say yes. Okay. I want your opinion. I'll give it to you. Now, if she comes and she's short and snippy, I get my back up. I get my hackles up. And I'll cut off my nose to spite my face, son. You make me mad, you can forget about it. You say, well, that's kind of stupid. I know that. And right now, when I'm not mad, I'll agree with you. But if you make me mad, I won't care. Well, when you do that, what happens? Communication ceases. The best marriages I've ever seen are people who can talk to each other about everything. About what they like, about what they don't like, what embarrasses them, what they're uncomfortable with, what they believe, about politics, about religion, about sex, about everything. Nothing should be off the table between a husband and wife and mom and dad and the children. Moms and dads get to a certain point and our children grow up and they reach certain plateaus in life that we're not comfortable talking about. And so we just don't talk about it. Well, they're going to talk about it with somebody. You want them getting bad information, erroneous information, third-hand information off the schoolyard? Or you want them to get the truth and the consequences and the adult position and the Christian perspective on it? You better be willing to talk to them about anything. I don't care what it is. Well, you know, there's just certain subjects. No, there are no subjects we can't talk about. Take the time and learn the proper vocabulary so that you don't have to be rude and crude and sound like some slob off the street. You don't have to be vulgar and all that stuff. There are proper words. But we ought to be able to talk about anything. And if your children come to you and try to communicate that they need information or they're confused or they're bewildered or they're having emotions that they've never had before, and you brush them aside or you blow them off, pretty soon they won't come to you anymore. I'm going down the road the other day. My phone rang. I answered it. It was my youngest daughter. And I could tell she was upset. I said, what's the matter? And she said, where are you at? She said, I'm sitting on the side of the road crying. I said, what's the matter, baby? And she told me she's got a couple of little old folks, and a couple of them have died, and another one they've just given a couple of days left to live. And she gets real attached to them. She takes it hard when one of them passes or something. And she'd had two or three in the last couple of days, and she was just overwhelmed. And she called Daddy. Because Daddy will listen. And we talked. And I comforted her. And then we had prayer over the phone. And she got herself together. And she went on. And now she's that tough little girl that she always is. But she's 46, 47 years old. And she still calls Daddy to talk about stuff. Because when she was a girl, we communicated. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about being able to talk to and communicate and convey to the people in your life that you love and that love you what you believe and how you feel. You need to be able to communicate how you love them and what you want for them. You need to be able to communicate to your children why we have certain positions, why we have certain standards. We need to be able to talk about it and get them to understand it. And we need to take every device that communication can employ and use it to make sure that we really do communicate. Not just talking. Not just listening with one ear and blowing them off. You know, when somebody comes to you to talk to you about things they believe or things they're not sure about, or things that are unsettling to them, the last thing they need is for you to be light, flippant, angry, dismissive. The last thing they need to hear is, oh, that's stupid. Or, what do you think about stuff like that for? What they're looking for an ear. And you have a great opportunity to communicate with them. To find out how they feel and to convey to them how you feel. That will help develop a bond, a unity that I don't think you can find anywhere else under any other circumstance. That simple little thing of communicating. That's not always easy because we're tired. We have our own problems. We're distracted. It seems like my wife always wants to talk to me at the most inopportune time. That's any time I'm in front of the TV with a clicker. I don't think I can convey how important communication is in the life of a family. I think if moms and dads genuinely communicated with children, there'd be a lot less rebellious children. There'd be a lot less dope-addicted young men. There'd be a lot less promiscuous young ladies if we were willing to talk to them and communicate our values and our principles and the whys and the wherefores. If we would take the time and spend the energy to communicate. It doesn't do any good for you to have the best values and principles in the world. Won't help your children one bit if you cannot communicate to them not only what you believe, but the why you believe. Well, we've just always done it that way, or we're Baptists and Baptists. That just, I don't know, maybe that worked in bygone days. I don't know. I know it don't work today. And I seriously doubt if it's ever worked. Now, there's only one person that you can communicate with that's more important than communication with your family. And that's our communication with God. You know, I've been at this a long time now, and I've talked to a lot of people in counseling and this, that, and the other. And I'm going to tell you something I have learned. I'm not going to tell you any secrets about anybody that I've learned. But I'm going to tell you something I have learned in counseling with people. People don't communicate any better with God than they do with their family. I cannot cease to be amazed and stunned at how people lie to God. How they don't really communicate how they feel. It's like they're trying to pull the wool over God's eyes. Or there's just certain things you just can't talk to the Almighty about. Really? You ought to be able to talk to God about anything. You say, well, I have these desires or I have these thoughts. And you're the only one, right? You're unique. Nobody ever had that problem but you. You're out of your mind. That's what you are. No temptation taking you but such is common to man. God made you. Do you think there's an emotion or a feeling that you could have that God didn't put in you that He doesn't know about already? Do you honestly think that there's anybody that would love you more and be more desirous to hear you and listen to you and understand you and comfort you and console you and strengthen you and guide you than God? There should be nothing, absolutely nothing, that you can't communicate to God. I'll tell you this. There is nothing that's helpful and good for you that God won't communicate to you. He's not afraid. He's not timid. He's not falsely shy. He knows our frame. He knows our weakness. He knows our strength. And if we would communicate with God, He would communicate back. And just like communication strengthens the bond between parents and children, between husbands and wives, communication, real communication, strengthens the bond between man and God. Let's bow it. Father, we thank You now for Your goodness and Your mercy. I pray, Lord, You'd help us as a people and as Christians to take the time to spend the energy to be communicators. I wish, Lord, that You'd just reach down and miraculously turn us all into the Great Gipper. But short of that, I pray help us to work diligently, day in and day out, to have the patience, the insight, the wisdom, to listen to our husband or our wife or our children or our friends. Help us to communicate, to transfer that information, to transfer that feeling, that emotion, that whatever, from one to the other, that we might know, that we might know the other. Help us to communicate. In Jesus' name, amen.